Good evening to you all. I thank the Lord for this special opportunity I have received to be here this evening. And I also thank you, Mark, Shelley, and the team of the leaders who have consented for me to come this evening to be with you. I'm very happy to say that Joji and Jennifer and their three children are doing very good, and also they continue to be active in the Northwest Gospel Hall in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they were in Australia in 2015, and my wife and I had the opportunity to visit them there. And as I was traveling and speaking in a few meetings in Australia and New Zealand, then I came here alone. This is after 5 years of gap, I am back in the United States to be with my family, grandchildren, as well as with brothers and sisters in various parts of this state. Time is coming to an end. God willing, on 27th of September, I am returning to India via a country called Bahrain and 2 evening meetings there. On 30th, I will be back in India. I don't know how long, but not but for a short time. I was born and raised in a nominal Christian home in southwest of India, a place called the state of Kerala, the city of Trivandrum. And all through the period of my school time, I had plenty of opportunity to hear the word during the family prayer time, and also the visiting evangelist who visited our home. Even though our church did not have evangelistic effort because it was an Episcopalian church. And high school years gave me an interest, especially to listen the word, and I had started attending some meetings. And during the college years, that grew, and I started to work among the university students. However, until a cousin of mine asked me a question, "Are you a Christian?" Well, in our country, if you are not a Christian, you are a Hindu or a Muslim or a low caste person, which I am not one of them, therefore I said I am a Christian. But then he said, "When did you become a Christian?" And that helped me to understand, you know, all this involvement and everything in itself is not enough, because Nicodemus need to be born again. And so Cornelius also has to, you know, his prayer reached in heaven, yet he need to hear the gospel from Peter so that he can become a child of God. So that evening, I prayed and received Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And the following year, that was in 1971, I got baptized. 1972, my parents arranged a marriage, and I got married. And 73, winter, I started seminary education in Portland, Oregon. Finished that school in 1977, and I worked in the state of Washington another 2.5 years. And during that period, God prepared us and sent us back to India to do the ministry. From 79 through 89, I worked among the university students. And 89, we joined with Assembly Fellowship in that city and started working in the Assembly and students ministry. By 93, we continued on the itinerant ministry to encourage the servants of the Lord in different parts of India. And also not only encourage them with the word of God, encourage them in their ministry by inviting other brothers with me. So we travel as a team to visit evangelists and the meetings and stay there in their home and enjoy their hospitality and be available to the meeting to the servant there to do the work as God has given them to do. And if it is singing or preaching, teaching, street meeting, literature distribution, house visiting, counseling, anything, always there are people with me to do that. So I'm continuing that ministry since 93, especially since 96. And 96 came, it became a necessity for me to come back to United States because my three children moved back to USA for college education. And I sent my older boys, I brought my youngest daughter Jennifer, at that time she was single, and soon we found out we cannot leave them as we thought, so we decided to spend 6 months of the year in this country helping our children in their schooling, education, and get settling themselves, and other 6 months back in India continuing the ministry among the evangelists in different parts of India. Again, 2011, we have gone back for a continuous ministry. So the last 5 years, we are back in India and doing the ministry. And this is the first visit after that. And this time, the assembly in Holland, Holland Gospel Chapel, you know, they have commended us in 2000, and they have commended us in 2011. And again, the commendation this time sent to CMML, and also they have, they're going to print our name in the address book, handbook for prayer, starting 2017. So, along with this also, God gave us a burden to do gospel aid ministry, along with itinerant ministry of encouraging the servants of the Lord, gospel aid ministry, because as we are staying with the evangelist and in the assembly, we come across various needs, and the team pray about those needs and provide some extent of care toward that need. Sometimes it is an educational help, sometimes it is a healthcare help, sometimes it is a gospel home construction help, sometimes it is a printing literature campaign helps, or purchase of some equipment such as transportation, things like that. So God have been great blessing and provided resources all these years to carry on the ministry. And you know, some of the things very strongly speaks to us. 3 years ago, a brother from Middle East came on vacation, and I invited him, would you like to join with me to meet some evangelists? There are 75 evangelists and their spouses are coming. Do you like to go? He said, yes. He said he would come with me. So we have gone together. And it was organized by an assembly in that region. So we visited there. We preached the word. And after the lunchtime, a fellowship was given. Everybody has gone home. As I was driving back from that meeting place to my home, I received a phone call from an evangelist in that region who did not come for the meeting. And he knew I was there, and he knew the meeting, everything he knew, but he pretended that he don't know anything. He asked, where am I, what am I doing? And I said, I'm in your region. I was wondering why you didn't come for the meeting. Then he said, I was not invited. But then he said one thing, you know, you came in the right time. The gift you have given has been a great help. Many of the evangelists immediately came to the town and went to the shop to do some shopping for the school supplies for their children. So that was a great encouragement for me, because you know, I invited this brother from Middle East who worked in an offshore drilling oil rig as a diver. You know, he made good money, so he was able to spare some of that to these people. And as the time was a precise time, they were badly looking for how they can get ready their children back to the school. So, you know, that was a great encouragement and made me to commit myself more into gospel aid ministry. So I thank the Lord. And all along this life also, I realized I was born in the home, and I grew up as a son to my parents. By marriage, I became a husband as well as son-in-law. Later I became a father and a father-in-law. Today I am a grandfather of 14 grandchildren. And one is going to come, it will make 15 by the end of this year. And my father and my mother is still alive, 95 and 92, with a limited health. And God has given us sufficient health for travel and the ministry. And I haven't been in any prescription medicine until 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, my daughter-in-law, who is a doctor, started to give some low dose of medications for blood pressure, diabetic, because she found I am on the borderline with the sugar. And so please remember us in your prayers so that God will continue to provide the health to carry on the travel and the itinerary ministry God has entrusted to us for the people in the land of India. And my wife is working hard with my parents because my mom has dementia and she do not know who she is. She has no idea where she is. At the very same time, she is fairly a healthy person. So she always wanted to go out, to go home. So we have to lock the gate and things like that. My father has major health issues, but very active person. Sharp thinking, good hearing, good memory. Physically, he can move around. So he just wanted to go for weddings and funerals and church activities as much as possible. And even if he is not invited, if he find out, he will call them and invite himself and go. So that is the kind, so you know, you have to work hard with that kind of parents. And my wife is on a 24/7 duty now. You know, she never worked outside the house. She was always a homemaker. Now people don't see her with me and ask me a question. Where is Molly? That's her name. M-O-L-L-Y. Molly. And where is he? I said that she found a job now. She is working. Oh. Is she a nurse? Oh yeah, she do the nursing also. So some people eventually catch what I'm saying. Some people don't think. They think, you know. But then finally I say, there's one difficulty with this job. No pay. And no vacation. Only bonus that's going to come sometime later. And so I thank the Lord for this. So as a result of this situation, whenever I come across the scripture passages, I see scripture a little differently than most brothers understand scripture. For example, in the book of Ruth, in the assembly circle, is very known book for redemption. Kinsman Redeemer, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church and all those things. I'm totally in agreement of that. But as I said, because I am, you know, from son to a grandfather, knowing relationship with the people, I see something a little different in this book. A book I can see an affection of a daughter-in-law, a care and a love and a service of a daughter-in-law, how that was ministering to her mother-in-law. And how a mother-in-law, kind and helpful to her daughters-in-law. You know, throughout the world, these two group of people do not get along well. Always there are some complaints. And from both people, you that. Because I have a mother-in-law, I have a mother, and I have a wife, I have a daughters and daughter-in-laws. Because I kind of know these kind of situations. And, you know, interesting thing that something you are able to understand more than they think you understand. Because Job said, after his children to be together in their day and back to their home, Job invite all of his children back to his house. For what purpose? Not that because he missed to be with them, but because he says, what if they have sinned in their heart and cursed God? Why do you think he is thinking that? Do you think he received some report from his faithful servants? Or did you think he was able to find out from his grandchildren something his children are hiding? None of those things. Because he can understand the hidden thoughts even in ignorance of the children themselves. You know, it is possible for your child to have a hurt in the heart, won't realize at that time. But that child will realize that only down the road. I was hurted. I was disappointed. For instance, you know, in the United States, you all invite your children for Thanksgiving or Easter or something like that. And all your children and their children all come together and have a great time. And suppose you decided to give a prize to your grandchildren and decided, okay, grandchildren, I'm going to give you some prize, $50, $100, $200. Okay, now what you have to do is you have to recite scripture verses and who do best and accurately, I'll give you this gift. And all your grandchildren are well prepared and come, but you know, when the time comes to give the answers, all will not perform same way. So naturally, out of 15 or out of 10, out of 6, I don't know how many you have, only 3 or 2 is going to win the prize. And everybody clap their hand, hey Timmy, you did well. But you know, while clapping your hand, there is a thought come to my mind, my child did not win this time. So you are clapping, you are laughing, you are encouraging, and every way you give the impression, and genuinely you are happy your nephew got the prize. But at the very same time, that discouragement that your child did not win, whereas your brother's or sister's child won the prize, is deep in your heart, nothing against. But the next year when you call your children for the same thing, you will receive a phone call from one of the grandchild. Grandpa, what is the Bible chapter you are going to ask the quiz this time? Do you think the grandchild genuinely and seriously interested to know the book early and get ready? It is not the grandchild. It is the mother of the grandchild. Because, see, you know, something like that you are able to perceive before they understand. So here we see in the life of Ruth how she was helpful, and also in the life of Naomi how she was also helpful to make a right decision, because she is a victim of a poor decision. In chapter 1, the book of Ruth, we read, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So Elimelech made a decision to go to Moab. What is the reason? Because there was a famine. But why there was a famine? For, you know, when we look in the book of Judges, it is the judgment of God. It is not crops failure. It is not water shortage. It was not the poor seed or fertilizer. It was the result of their sin to God, and the judgment of God is upon them. But every time they turned to God and cried to the Lord, Lord said to them, a deliverer. So instead of looking to God, what was the decision Elimelech made? Elimelech looked around and found things are getting bad here. I won't be able to pay the tuition for my children. I won't be able to provide food for my children. I cannot make my payment for the house. So sell whatever I have, move away from here. But the problem with that decision is a simple thing. The moment he made that decision, he is out of fellowship with God. Because for that nation, God said, I am with you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year in your land. See, the tabernacle is in that land. The Levitical system functioned only in that land. The high priest can do the ministry only in that land. The sacrifices and offering, service and worship can be do only in that land. If they move out of that land, all these things are discontinued. They lack fellowship with. You know, the Lord says, when you do that, you are a dead person. In the Gospel of Luke, we read about the story of two sons of a father. What was the need of the second son? He wanted the inheritance to leave the house. And he spent everything. He found many friends and he lost. Finally, he was without food, without job, in a famine. Then he found a job. And there he received census. And he said, I will go back to my father and confess to him, I have sinned against you and in heaven. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. You know, he was alive and active. You know what father says about this boy at that time? Thy brother was dead. Now he is alive. It was not the death, it was not a death of trespasses and sin. It was not the death of physically died. Or it was not the death that is going to be cast down into hell for eternity. This is a death of lack of relationship, because he didn't want to stay with his father, he didn't want to stay with his brother, he wanted everything for himself and wanted to go away. While he was alive out there, father was saying he's a dead person. So this is whose opinion is this? This is the opinion of God in heaven. He says he was dead, now he is alive. Therefore, to be rejoicing is necessary. So that what happened to Elimelech, a decision. But it was a wise decision in the eyes of the world. You know, when you are not able to care for your family, let us move from North Carolina to Georgia. It's a good idea. But problem with this people, that is breaking relationship with God and his people. So Elimelech died when he left, and then he is dead in 10 years of time. You know, why he was doing that? Because he lacked faith and also he forgot to call upon God. You know, in chapter 2, in verse 1, we read another interesting episode of that same period. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. He didn't have any deposit in the Swiss bank. He was also living in the same place, on the same famine condition. But he was able to survive in such a way, now he's mighty and wealthy. How is it possible? Why is it possible? Because he believed the promise of God. He knew God is able to bring victory. And there is no testing in the life of a believer that cannot be overcome. Because God will provide, along with the testing, a way out to come successfully. You know, in the proverb we read, honor the Lord. How do you honor the Lord? With your first fruit and with your wealth. Then what will happen? Your barns will be filled and wine press will be overflowing. That's the promise of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Today is Sunday. Last Friday you received a paycheck. For calculation purposes, let's say you received $100, your paycheck. And you decided to honor the Lord. Instead of 10%, you decided to give 15%. You put it in the offering bag this morning, 15%. And you went home and you took the money out of the wallet and you started to count, because God is going to bring overflowingly. How much money you will have? 500? 1,000? How much you will have? Only 85. Then what does this mean? That you have to understand, God's promise come to a reality in your life and his time. I know a young man started to study in a school. And the tuition and the room and the board was nearly $300. And he had $8 in his hand. During the course of 2 semesters, he received another $20. So the bill added to 600 now. So there is a question in his hand. How can I pay 800 expenses with the 26? And along with this, how can I honor the Lord? But that boy decided to give offering every week from the money he had. So all the money is gone. 2 semesters is gone. School is asking to pay. And he looked for a job. There are many hurdles he has to overcome. Do not have a driving license. Do not know how to drive. Do not speak English sufficiently. When you tell the name is Doug, he will say duck. So that has the ability of English of that person. And he was asking for a job even a registered nurse was not able to make. In those days, minimum wages was $1.40 or $1.60. Gas price was 30 cents. And a registered nurse made $5 an hour. And he said, I wanted a job of $7. No education, no skill, no driving, no knowledge, nothing. How can you expect that? Another student said, there's one place I know you can find a job like that. Oh, where is that? That is the dock freight lines. You go there, you apply. If you are willing to work hard, you can make that money. So that boy went there, and that is where he met Doug, called him Duck. And anyway, Duck hired him and gave him the job, and he worked overtime. He paid all school bill, got enough money for the next year. See, when the God said, He will overflow you, fill your barns with plenty and overflow your wine plus, He will do that. But He has His time. He has to wait 26 weeks to experience that blessing with difficulty of $26 versus $600 bill. So, Boaz knew promise of God is a reality and it will come to a reality. So he stayed in that prayer. So he was alive and in fellowship. Now he is standing as a mighty man of wealth. Where is the wise man who took a wise decision to provide for the family out in the foreign country among the idolaters? Is dead after 10 years. Not only he died, he is left behind three widows for a nation of Israel. Is that a blessing? It's not. But mother had a heart. She knew who God is. At the very same time, she is experiencing not the kindness of God in her life. She was saying, the Almighty is dealing with me bitterly. His hand is against me. I know He is a kind God. Therefore, my daughters, don't come with me. You have no hope in my land. There is no chance for you to survive there. No one will marry you. But for you to have a rest, you go back to your father, to the mother. There you will find the rest. And Orpha heard that. And she loved her mother-in-law. So she wept loudly, cried loudly, and hugged her and went back. You know, at that time, God the Holy Spirit says an interesting thing in verse 15 of chapter 1. Thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. See, the moment she took a decision to return to her parents, to her country, she also was returning to her gods. Ruth clung to her mother-in-law. Ruth was not looking, what is the benefit I can find in Israel or in her land? Rather, how I can be a blessing to my mother-in-law? She knew her mother-in-law is tired and discouraged and depressed and know the right theology but not experiencing that in her life, and difficult for her to work hard. So she said, I'm going to come with you. Not only that, she also knew the God of Israel. And she said, Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people and my people is same. And when you die, you will be buried. I am buried with you. So she, even at the grave, she is saying, there is no way you can force me to separate. I am going to come with you. I am going to help you. And in chapter 2, she was asking, the consent of the mother said, let me now, verse 2, go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. See, she, look here. She was looking for a field. What kind of field? Where she can find more grains, no? She was looking for a field where she can find grace. You know, she could have given a lot of reasons, legitimate, genuine reasons, why she cannot go. Simple example, language, accent, unfamiliarity, totally strange. All those things are genuine reasons for her not to go. But those reasons were not a reason because she knew, I can seek the face of God and ask him to find me a grace to a field. And she found the field of Boaz. He was a godly man and a wealthy man. You know, he is a man who knew who he is. Even though he is a master in the sight of the people in the field, he himself knew, I am a slave of my master. You know, that realization is very valuable. When you know you have a master in heaven, your dealings with your employees will be different. Because, you know, I had the opportunity to work in this country. And the company provides you health care. They provide you short-term disability. They provide you bonus. They provide you paid holidays. They provide you salary on public holidays like Labor Day, things like that. And, you know, also the company I worked few years in this country, they even provided you attendance bonus. If you work 3 months, 6 o'clock, you punch before 6 o'clock and start working six o'clock because everything you entered in the computer so they can find that things. And they will give you $75 for the first 3 quarters. The next 3 quarters will be $100. The next 3 quarters will be $125. The final quarters will be $150. As an encouragement to leave your home in time to start the work at 6. So, lot of care. Therefore, when you have somebody helping in your house, you also able to provide care for that person. You know, one of the things in India today is a scarce commodity is helpers. It's very difficult to find helpers in our country. But my wife was able to receive someone because she was praying for a helper because she went back to help my father and my mother in their old age to return to their parents. And a girl came from North India. And she spoke only her native language, not even speak Hindi. She stayed with us 3 years. At the end of the time, she spoke to me in English, spoke to my father in Malayalam. And she was able to read Hindi Bible and also talk Hindi to other Hindi-speaking people. And every time she has some health issues, my wife took her to the doctor as if she is taking her daughter to the doctor. And this Boaz is that kind of person. So what was he saying? He said, Lord be with you. And what did they say? The Lord bless thee. So what a relationship. Because he knew he has a master. Therefore, his dealing with servants are not master and slave. Rather, co-worker. And also, he found an interesting thing. This woman who is gleaning from her field is a Moabitess woman who have left her people, her country, and came to a country where she was totally unknown and strange. Not only that, this woman helped her mother-in-law after the death of her husband. He says that, "It hath fully been shewed to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou left thy father, thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." See, look, here Ruth made a decision to follow God. Elimelech made a decision to leave God. Ruth's decision was a foolish decision. Why? Because no future for her. And Orpha decided by the counsel of her mother-in-law to go back to her father. But when she left, she also gone back to her God. But she came to the living God. And as a result of her care, affection, love, compassion, hard work, labor, character, virtuous quality made this woman to bring joy in the heart of her mother-in-law. The mother-in-law said, "You know, God is kind, but he is dealing with me differently. His hand is against me. He is dealing bitterly toward me. I have no chance of any joy in my heart." Now look, verse 20, what she is saying. The same lady is saying, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he the Lord." Now her vocabulary is different. Her sound is different. Why? Because she found a very fascinating truth, the kindness of God. Says that, "Who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near, a kin unto us, and one of our next kinsmen." See, Naomi said, "Don't come with me. Your future will be ruined. You will not find a spouse." Now she is saying, "Wait a minute. Our God is kind. Look, you were able to bring an ephah of barley the first day itself by gleaning. So plenty food. And you already brought cooked food for me to eat while you are preparing the dinner. So plenty food. And now I see I'm going to arrange a spouse for you, a husband for you. So you do what I say." And she didn't ask any questions. She was not reasoning with her logics. She simply obeyed and made available to her. As a result of that, Boaz found a virtuous woman in her. And he said, "I will do everything possible for your redemption." And he did. You know, this girl is so great girl. And in fact, her character and her ability and her service is matchless. Do you know what the neighbors were saying about her? She is far better than 7 sons. In verse 15 of chapter 4. "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him." You know, in the 80s, with the campus ministry, we have some leaders. So we visit leaders' home, and when we visit the leaders' home, we also visit the neighbors. On one particular house, every time we go, the mother-in-law always say, "Oh, my daughter-in-law is so nice to me." And the daughter-in-law always bring the hymn book and the Bible and the head covering, and mother-in-law don't have to get up or any place. She put the covering on her head. But sometime later, when I wanted to visit that house, the neighbors whom we know better told, "Don't go there. What happened?" "Oh, there's a big problem there." So I said, "In that house?" "Yes." "Then what is..." Well, that was all show. Mother-in-law said nice about the daughter-in-law, so she won't get kicked out. And daughter-in-law acted out being nice to her mother-in-law, so the me won't go and tell others how the bad is that girl is. But here, the neighbors are saying, the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law is not saying each other or patting each other. Rather, the neighbors are saying, Ruth is a great woman. Boaz was saying she was a virtuous woman. And scripture is saying she was a hard-working woman. And finally, it brought joy in the heart of her mother-in-law. And not only that, you know, mother-in-law also continued to stay with this daughter-in-law. In verse 16, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse unto it, unto the child. Mother-in-law didn't say, you know, 2 weeks is over now, I have to go back. In the middle of the night, the noise is too much, irritating my ears. Running around the children are very difficult for me. Too much, you know, I like to give a Christmas gift and a thanks and a birthday gift and maybe some money for their education, future. Oh, I can do all those. But don't ask me to stay here anymore. That's not the way this mother-in-law is saying. She's saying, I'm going to move in here now. She's already there. You know, the decisions we make is going to be a great effect in our life, provided we make the decision as an obedience and a trust and dependence on God. And Naomi's decision to come back, Ruth's decision to follow, brought a blessing that was beyond their ability to understand or perceive. 4th generation is sitting on the throne of Israel, the King David. I don't know Ruth saw David or not, but I know one thing. She will see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, when he is sitting on that throne. Being willing and available to serve a widow. She did not come for real estate. She has no clue she can inherit the lost property, because she grew up in a different situation and culture. So she only came, somehow she can help this elderly woman. And you have to understand, the elderly woman is also always seeking how I can be a ministry to my daughter-in-law. So when they are not seeking their own self-centered needs, rather how they can help each other, as a result of that, joy in that house, growth in that house, a new generation came into that house, a king came in the nation of Israel, and our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and sit in that throne. What a joy, what a blessed privilege when you and I make a decision by trusting the Lord, honor the Lord. And whatever he promised, that will come. But you have to wait for his time. Joseph waited 13 years in misery, in loneliness, in rejection, in prison, in forgetfulness. But after 13 years, he became a powerful person in the land of Egypt, as God promised him, and his brothers came and bowed him, not one time, not two times, not three times, many times, even after the death of his father. These brothers came and said, Master, do not hold against anything us. Don't hold against us anything. So the promise of God is a reality. It will come to our life, provided we are willing to obey. Because we read in the book of Samuel, obedience is superior than sacrifice. Rebelliousness is like sorcery or idolatry. Therefore, let us make a decision that will clarify, that will help us that we are trusting God. That will that will make clear our trust is in God, not in circumstance. Circumstance told Elimelech to leave, but obedience told Ruth to follow. So she is a blessed person, not only in her life, but also in the life of her mother-in-law. Are we able and willing and surrendering so that our children will be a blessing to their mother-in-law, to their father-in-law? Are we blessing to our father-in-law and father-in-law? See, my wife is not with me today because she is working hard for my father and my mother. And again, as I said, I can give you many examples. My time is over here, so we'll close this meeting with prayer. Gracious and loving Father, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for this evening. Thank you that, Lord, you've given us an opportunity. Look in your word and understand. You are a faithful God. You are a powerful God. You are able to bring delivery and blessing. Even though it looks impossible to our thinking and our ability of understanding. But your work is beyond our ability in your time for your glory. So we thank you for the wisdom that you have given to us in the scripture, to look upon you, to trust you, and practice that in our life so that we will have joy. We will be a blessing to other people, and we will receive blessing from you. We commit to your servants here, and also the assembly here, and the ministry they have in the community and around the world. We praise your name, pray in Jesus' name. Amen.